have the honor and privilege to introduce, she really doesn't need an introduction, I don't know why I'm saying that, but to bring up our speaker of the house this morning. Amazing, everybody knows. I hope you guys got your notebooks ready. Notepad, you got notes, you're taking notes. Pastor Jennifer Ortiz drops nuggets. So it is my honor. She is amazing. I am actually super inspired by her teachings. My wife was going to actually come up and introduce her because she was like, I love Pastor Jen. I want to go up there and say hello. But she is amazing. So would you please stand to your feet and clap your hands and welcome Pastor Jennifer Ortiz to the stage. Amen, amen. Amen.
Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. I'm going to have a seat too. I'm sitting today. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, church. You guys are amazing. This is just an amazing church. It's just been such a blessing. Renee said it's been a blessing for him to be here. I think our family has been here 14 years. We showed up one Sunday. We never left. It's just been that way ever since. This is our home. It's our family. So thank you, church, for just being so amazing today. Today, I just kind of want to have a talk with you. So usually I make you take lots of notes because I just got a lot of things to share with you. But today, I just kind of want to talk. And in that talk, if you catch some nuggets, praise God. But I'm going to warn you, I'm preaching to myself today, and you just get to come along for the ride. So welcome to my world. You get to be in my head today. Pastor Shana does send her love. She is actually preaching at another church today. That's what happens when you have a really good pastor. People want her to preach at their church. So she's actually preaching at another church. A church that's been a long time friends of ours, and she had the invitation to preach there. So we just bless her as she's there. But she sends her love today, and she told me to get you guys out on time today. So I'm going to do the very best that I can. So today, what I want to do is, I'll pray in a minute, but I really just kind of want to tell you where I've been and walk you through my experience of what life has kind of been like for me in the past, I'd say about 18 months. So it's been a while, and I hope that in that you'll get some wisdom about maybe where some of you are in the season that you're in. So, Lord, I pray for the word today, oh God. I pray that you would speak through me, that you would touch hearts, that you would bring revelation, that you would bring hope, that you'd bring breakthrough today, oh God. Let today be a day of breakthrough. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my husband was actually scheduled to preach today, and he had to end up going out of town. And so Pastor said, well, I guess you're up. And I said, no, I don't think it's a good thing for me to preach right now. So I haven't been in a good space. I think it'd be a little rough. And she said, no, you need to preach. And sometimes God calls us to minister out of places where you feel so inadequate and you feel like you don't have very much to give. And that's the very place where sometimes God brings breakthrough. So for us, for me personally, it's just been a tough season. I think our family has just experienced a lot of transition, a lot of loss. Just a lot kind of has been happening. Lots of good things, but lots of hard things too. And so it's just kind of put me in a funk. So I just have been in what seems like a never-ending funk. And it's been like not a week and not two and not three. It's been almost 2 years. And so when I asked God, what should I preach about today? He said, preach about where you're at because you're not the only one there. And so what I want to do today is talk about 10 things I hate about the season I'm in. And it's going to sound like I'm complaining. So you don't have to take notes on the 10 things. But I'm going to give you 4 things or 5 things on the backside to help you deal with the season that you're in. Part of this is inspired. You know, I work with teenagers a lot. Has anyone ever seen 10 Things I Hate About You? That's where this came from, just so you know. The 10 things. But so today, it's really 10 things I hate about being in the wilderness. And I would describe the season that I've been in probably for the last 18 months as a wilderness season. And so just to give you a definition of what a wilderness season is, it's a season of humbling, testing, and approving of character. Deuteronomy 8:2 defines it for us. God said this, "You shall remember the Lord your God, which led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And so some of you, if you're finding yourself kind of in that funk or in a tough season, you may be in a wilderness season. And what's the purpose? Because I always ask God why, right? I ask lots of questions. It's just who I am. And I ask God lots of questions. And so John Bevere defines this in such a beautiful way. He says, the purpose of a wilderness season is to train you, to purify you, to strengthen you, and to prepare you for a new move of his spirit. The result of all of this training, purifying, and strengthening is that you would become more fruitful. I don't know why God does this, and it's a pattern I see in his Bible, but the wilderness is like his preferred method of training. It's like he gives you a vision of where he wants to take you, and it's good. And then he says, go sit down in the wilderness for a while so you can be tested and humbled and have your character proven. And it's hard. But you know what? I don't think like God, and God has purpose way beyond my purpose. But here's what I know. It's in the wilderness that you receive new wineskins. You know, the Bible says that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, they burst. They can't hold the capacity. They don't have the capacity to hold it. And it's in those wilderness seasons, in those tough times with God, when you develop new wineskins so that when God pours new anointing on you and he pours new levels of authority on you, that they don't burst out of you. You can actually handle it. That when God gives you greater levels of influence, it doesn't destroy you because you actually have the character to support it. But that testing and proving and strengthening comes through dark seasons. And sometimes as a church, we don't want to talk about the dark seasons. And sometimes as a church, we think if we're in a dark season, we did something wrong. But God's like, no, that's just the way I train you. And if you're like me, God, no. God, why? God, please. You know, some of you are like this. But here's what I know. If you can understand the purpose of your season, it helps you get through it. In 1 Chronicles, there's a list of David's mighty men. And one section of that, there's one small verse in there. And it says, the sons of Issachar were mighty men because they could discern times and seasons. And there's one thing that God has taught me in this season. He said, if you could understand where you are, you will be a mighty woman of God when you know it's going to end. You know there's purpose in the season that you're in. So I'm going to walk you through this journey. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Job 23. I know. And I already told God, I don't even want to preach out of Job. And he said, I don't care. Yes, our base scripture is coming out of Job today. I actually came across this in our Bible reading plan. I don't traditionally just go and read Job because I want to. Matter of fact, every year when Job comes, I'm like, no, Job. But this year, Job really spoke to me. He spoke to me quite a bit. So Job 23, I'm going to read quite a few verses 8 through 12. I guess it's not quite a few, but for some of you, if you don't read your Bibles, it is. But Job 23, 8 through 12, I'm just going to read it to you today. Job says this, look, I go forward, but he, meaning God, is not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. When he turns to work on the left, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips, and I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background about Job a little later, but Job was definitely in a wilderness season. Probably more. I can't even compare my season to Job's, right? Because Job was in an extreme wilderness season. But honestly, when I look at Scripture, I find most people that have been great in the Bible have been through a wilderness. Right? If you need a list, I can give you, there's a longer list than I can give you, but Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Job, David, Jesus, Paul, they all went through these wilderness seasons, and they all shared experiences of their wilderness seasons, and they all came out of those seasons with power. So here you go. 10 things that I hate about being in this season I'm in. Number one, it's dry. It feels like the heavens are brass. You know what I mean by that? It feels like you're praying, you're seeking, you're worshiping, but it's just dry. It just doesn't have the intimacy it used to have. I mean, it's a struggle just to get in his presence. And I know for me, I love God's presence. And I usually don't have problems in worship. I usually don't have problems getting in his presence. But this has been a tough season where I've had to fight just to get in his face. It's just dry. It's just a dry season. Job had this because he was looking for God. He said, God, I go forward. You're not there. I try to backtrack because maybe I left you behind, but you're not there either. Where are you, God? Look, when the children of Israel were in their wilderness, what was their number one complaint? Does anyone know what their number one complaint was? Food. Why did he take them out? I'm thirsty. Water. Why did you leave me out here without any water? Right? And water is often representative of his spirit. And sometimes in my wilderness, I'm like, God, it is dry. Where is your spirit? Where is it, God? And it's not that it's completely non-existent, right? He gives you a little bit to sustain you, but you're like, I'm dehydrated. Okay, number two, you feel like you did something wrong, but most times you didn't. Now, I've been in seasons where I did things wrong and it put me in that season. But I'm talking about when in this season of trying, you didn't do anything wrong for the most part. Right? Jesus, when he had his wilderness experience, the Bible tells us in Luke 4 that being filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he didn't do something wrong that led him into a wilderness season. He was simply following the Spirit of God, and he found himself in this season that was extremely tough, a season of testing for him. But oftentimes the enemy tries to trick us and make us feel like you shouldn't have done that. You thought you heard God. You didn't hear God. Now look where you're at. Shouldn't have made that decision. Shouldn't have done there. Shouldn't have done this. And the reality is you didn't do anything wrong. Now think about Job for a minute, because everyone thought Job did something wrong. And even those closest to him were like, you must have some secret sin. Like you did something wrong for God to do what he's done or allowed to happen. But he didn't. Okay, number three, why I hate this season. Because I feel isolated and lonely. You feel like other people don't get you. And you feel like people don't understand how hard it is for you in this season. And Elijah went through this in the Bible. Remember the great prophet Elijah? In 1 Kings 19:10, he told God, God was like, why are you mad, Elijah? Why are you hiding in a cave? Why are you so depressed? And Elijah's like, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. I'm the only one left, God. And you feel that way. That is your reality in the moment, is you feel like, God, am I the only one that's like this? And God's so funny. God's like, Elijah, there are 7,000 prophets. You feel like you're by yourself. But you just can't see. You just feel that way. Okay, number four, you feel like God has forgotten you and abandoned his promises to you. Now, if some of this is hitting you, you might be in a wilderness season. But you feel like God has given you such great promises, and somewhere along the way, he just left you by yourself. And Joseph, I imagine, Job felt this way too, but I imagine Joseph felt this way. Right? Joseph, not Jesus' daddy, Joseph in the Old Testament. Because Joseph had visions and dreams and knew God was taking him somewhere. And then he gets thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by his family, ends up as a slave, goes to jail. And I bet he's in the jail like, God, did you really forget me? Like, how? How, God, did you? How does this equal rulership? Sitting in a jail cell for something I didn't do. And that was his wilderness. Number five, you can't see where God is taking you. I hate this one. Because I like to know things. I like to know things. And in this season, God's like, you can't see everything right now. You just have to walk by faith. Job said, look, I go forward, he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left, on the right hand, I cannot behold him. Job's like, I don't know where you are, God. I'm looking for you. I'm trying to follow you, but I can't quite peg you. I thought I moved forward and you would be there. You weren't. I moved backwards because I thought you were there, and you weren't there either. I don't know where you are. I look to my right, to my left. Where am I supposed to go? And it's really challenging because you don't hear God giving you a fresh, clear direction of do this or do that. It's challenging. Number six, another one I hate. You don't get all the answers, and you don't get to be in control. That's a drop the mic one. You don't get all the answers, and I have lots of questions, and you don't get to be in control. But Job said this in verse 10, he knows the way that I take. Job didn't say, I know the way that I take. He said, he knows the way that I take, and my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. Notice Job had no part in this to say, me, me, me. It was all God and what God was asking him to do. Number seven, there's not a lot of joy in this season. Now, I imagine when Job had this experience, he was probably facing the greatest amount of grief that one person could possibly manage. Because not only did he lose one child, which would, it's massive amounts of grief to lose one child, he lost them all at the same time. And grief, as much as we want to be happy and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it is, grief is hard. It is hard to walk through grief. And sometimes in these wilderness seasons, mine has been immense grief. It just doesn't feel good. There's just not a lot of joy. And David said it like this in Psalms 42, verses 9 through 11. He said, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? See a pattern? David felt forgotten too. Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And then David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? So David had to talk to himself, soul, why are you so down? And then he tells himself, hope in God, I will yet praise him. I had no other choice. Yes, I don't have joy, but I'm still going to praise God. And you have to tell yourself that in these seasons is I don't feel joyful right now. I feel annoyed and angry and irritated, and I don't even really like people. But yet my hope is in God, and I will yet praise you. Number eight, you're taking a test that you don't feel prepared for. I hate that. I'm a teacher. I don't give pop quizzes. It causes anxiety in me. Just tell me what you're going to test me on so I could be prepared. While this pop quiz stuff, I don't like surprises, right? But Job said, when he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And the problem with this type of testing is that you don't know you're being tested. And it's a testing of your character. And some of us want to pretend past this season, but you can't because you didn't know it was coming. So you get a rude awakening of where you really are and who you really are. In wilderness seasons, you can't avoid it. You can't put on a show. In Exodus 13, God said this. The children of Israel had already come out of Egypt. But God said, perhaps when the people see war, they will return to Egypt. So I'm going to take them around a different way because they're not ready for that test yet. God doesn't take us through tests we're not ready to pass. So even though I want to be prepared and I want to know ahead of time what's on the test and I want a study guide, God's like, you don't need one because I'm not going to take you a route you're not ready to handle. And so even in these seasons, I have to tell myself that even though it feels overwhelming and hard, God has not brought me here to kill me. He's brought me here because he knew I was ready to pass this test. Number nine, I'm getting close. This one, I said the other two were the worst, but for real, this one's the worst for me. For real, for real. There are no new directions. This one is so hard for me. Because, you know, when I use, like, Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze, here's how my husband uses it. He puts on the directions, the little lady's voice or the man's voice, and he just follows, right? Wherever they turn right and half a mile, turn left. I can't do that. I have to read through the directions first. I open up the map, okay, put in my destination. I need to read through every direction. So I know the end destination, and I know if it's right or wrong, and maybe it cannot take a different route. You know what I'm talking about, right? I need to know an alternate route, just in case, right? I need some new directions. I like those apps because they'll tell you things like, you know, stay on this freeway for 13 miles. All right, 13 miles, I can do that, right? At least I know it's coming to an end. But God's like, stay on this route. For how long, God? Just keep going. Okay, God, how long? Just keep going. Do I need to turn right? No, just keep going. Can I get some new directions? Can we try a different side street? Can I see a new scenery? No, just keep going. I hate that. Because, God, I just want to know when it's going to end. I want to know when we are reaching our destination. So then I can self-talk myself and say, two more miles, you can do it. Even if it's like 25 more miles, you're like, 25 more miles, oh, 23 more miles, oh, 21 more miles, I'm getting closer. But you just don't know. And God said, just keep staying the path. And I kept asking God in this season, I was like, God, are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? Just keep doing it. And sometimes it'll be vague things like, trust me. God, what do I need to do in this situation? Trust me. Again? You said that already. Can I get a new direction? Just something else. No, just trust me. Dang it. Got to keep going. Right? And that's what God does. Think about Abraham. God did this to Abraham. Right? He told Abraham, leave where you are and go where? To a place I will show you. That's mean. I'm not going to tell you where I'm taking you. Just follow me. Just follow me and you'll end up there. And for people who like to be in control, this is rough. It's a rough season. God is working it out in me, working out that character. And then number 10, the thing that I hate about this season is that there are no shortcuts. The wilderness season requires patience. And if you try to shortcut this season, you will sit down in another wilderness. Some of you know this because you've done it and you've tried. The children of Israel were supposed to have an 11-day journey. But because they tried to shortcut and because they complained, 11 days turned into 40 years. You cannot shortcut the process of God. And if he says, sit down and be in the wilderness, you better sit down and figure out what wilderness you're in and what God's trying to get out of it. There are no shortcuts. And I see people do this all the time, right? You get in these tough seasons, you switch jobs. Not because God said to, but because you want to and you're sick of the people you work with. Right? You leave your church. Because you're like, I'm not getting fed there. People get on my nerves anyway. Well, go sit down in a wilderness in another church. Because you can't escape the season. There is a proving of character that God is trying to do in you. And if you don't sit down and figure it out, you're just going to get up and walk to another wilderness. And it'll look different for a minute, and it won't take you long to realize it's still a wilderness. It still looks the same. And you're still broke just as you were in the other wilderness. You can't shortcut it. And God is the one who tells you when you're done being tested. You don't get to say, it's too hot, I'm done. God's like, the impurities are coming to the surface. When I can skim those off the top, then you're done. Then you can move on. Okay, so what can we learn from these 10 things? Because I gave you 10 of my complaints. And I hope that some of you have identified some things you hate, too, about the season you might be in. But there are some positive things and things to help you get through the season. The first one, these are the things you can write down. If you wrote down the other ones, good luck to you. Hope that ministered to you, I don't know. But number one, understand it's only a season. This has been the glimmer of hope for me, is that even though this season seems long to me and it seems hard to me, it's only a season. And we can't get to spring without having winter, right? And winter is cold and dry and dead. But you can't have the newness of things popping up without that long season. So if you understand that it's only a season, it helps you get through it. And if you tell yourself, this is not going to last forever, I'm coming out of this with power. I'm coming out of this with new wineskins. I'm coming out of this and new levels of anointing. I'm coming out of this better than I was. I'm coming out of this with better character than I was. It gives you some hope. Gives you some strength. Because otherwise, you just want to lay on the couch and watch TV all day. Or Netflix, because that's like, you know, Netflix is the drug of choice these days. Okay, number two, something to help you through this season. Don't give up and don't look for an alternate route. I promise you this, it will only lead to disaster. Right? You don't look for a quick fix to where you are. Don't excuse it away and don't try to shortcut it. Deal with the tough things. Because in the proving of character, there are no doubt things going to come up that you don't want to deal with personally. And God is like, you need to face them and deal with them. And you want to shortcut it and you want to say it doesn't exist, but you got to deal with it. So stay where you're at. Number three, this is the biggest one, don't complain. It's hard. But here's what I know. The first generation of Israelites complained so much, their wilderness was wasted. Now, God doesn't waste anything, so take that for however you want to interpret it. But they didn't get to the end result. They complained their way out of the promise. And it's so easy to complain in this season. It is so easy because it's like you have a heightened sense of annoyance. I mean, like, somebody doesn't even have to say anything. You just look at them and you're like, annoyed. And you just, and God is like, that's what I'm trying to fix in you. Like, there's something wrong with you. You need to fix it. But don't complain, because complaining will draw out your wilderness season. And it can block you from the end result. So we have got to make a point to not complain. And I know it's hard, but with God's power, you can do it. And then number four, this one has gotten me through this season. And it's continuing to get me through this season. Prophesy the promises. You have got to speak God's word over you in this season. You got to do it in any season, but especially when you're in the wilderness season, you have got to do it. Now, Job, when he was in this season, he said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I don't even want to eat. I just need to hear God's word. I just need to speak God's word over myself, because I'm in such a tough place that is the only thing sustaining me right now is just the word of God. When Jesus was in the wilderness, what did he do? Spoke the word of God. He consistently told the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I want to tell you that prophesying the promise does not include what I call just the logos word, which is the written word that you have. It also includes his rhema word, which is the revealed word he's given you. See, in this season, I have felt like, man, I'm not hearing God like I used to. I'm not hearing him as clearly as I used to. I ask him questions, he don't answer. Like, God, what is the deal? And on Friday night, when I was just talking to God about this, he was like, you have journals full of my word. I have journals. I'm a huge fan of journaling. If you don't do it, I highly recommend you do. Write down what God tells you. But I am a huge fan of journaling. And God said, you have journals full of promises I've given you. There is no, you don't even need a new word. Go back and read some of the old words. And I spent the evening going through one journal, just one. And I came out of that shouting because I was like, oh, God, we got promises all day. I don't even need a new fresh word. I got a fresh word that hasn't come to pass yet. And here's what God showed me. He said, when you are prophesying the word, when you are speaking God's promises, they are like, have you ever been on an airplane? And what do they tell you when they do their little speech about the air mask comes down and buckle your seatbelt? They say, if in the event that the power goes out, what happens? Does anyone know what happens? The lights on the floor light up. There are lights that are on the floor of the plane that you don't usually see unless the power goes out. And God said, my promises are like those lights. Because when everything gets dark, that becomes your guide. In your darkest seasons, when it feels like it's not going to end, when you feel like someone doesn't understand, when the grief is so overwhelming to you, when you look to the right and I'm not there, and you look to the left and you try to backtrack and I'm still not there, look for those lights. That is what's going to guide you out. I'm preaching to myself. Hope you get something. But I'm preaching to myself. Use your exit lights. They're your promises. I have found it so hard to speak God's word back to him in this season. Because it's almost like the enemy just wants to shut my mouth. And as much as I want to say, especially in the area of healing, when I just keep telling God, God, you said I would be healed. And physically you don't see it happening. The enemy's like, is that really true? And it's a fight to get his word out of my mouth. But once I do, the enemy just shuts up. And I follow those little exit lights out of that situation. And then comes another one, but we deal with that one when it comes. I want to encourage you today, if you have found yourself in a season where it has just been tough, and you would say to yourself, I identify with this, I'm in a wilderness season. Take God's word and speak it. Look for every promise he has ever given you and rehearse it. I mean, rehearse it over, like rehearse it as if you're going to speak it in front of a crowd. Get in the mirror and speak it to yourself. Speak it back to God. God, this is what you said, God. This is what your word says. This is what's truth. I'm going to lean on this. That's what's going to get you through this season. Amen? Amen. Told you I was going to get you out early today. We'll see how long it goes with prayer because we're going to pray for you. Amen? All right. Here's what I want to do for you today. If you have found yourself, if you've identified with that and you've said, I am in a wilderness season, or I've come out of a wilderness season and I can relate, or anything to that effect, I want to pray for you today. And my prayer today is going to seem somewhat selfish. But it's been about me all day, so why not? But Job prayed for his friends. And when Job prayed for his friends, he found extreme breakthrough in his own life. And even though I am in a season and I feel ill-equipped to pray for you, God's like, oh no, you're going to pray for them. You are going to pray for them even though you don't want to. And in that, breakthrough is coming. So if you would say today that, man, this is me. I'm in a tough season. I'm in a funk. I don't know what God is saying. I don't know what God is doing. I feel grief in unimaginable ways. I want to pray for you. So if you could turn on some music for us, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar because I just want to pray for you. I also want you to come to the altar because I want you to know you are not by yourself. And the lie the enemy tells in this season is that you are alone. And God is saying, you are not alone. Look around you and see who else is in a season of testing and trying. You are not by yourself. You are not by yourself in this season. So I'm going to ask you to lift your hands because we're just extending them to the Lord. We're having open palms because we're saying, God, I'm here to receive. I don't need to take anything. I'm just here. God, I lift up every person today at this altar, including myself, oh God. And Lord, we just declare that we are like the sons of Issachar. We recognize the season that we are in, that is a season of testing and trying. But you are proving us, and each one of us is coming forth as pure gold. God, we declare over ourselves that we are coming forth as pure gold this morning. God, I ask you to strengthen every person at this altar right now. God, I pray for a fresh outpour of your spirit right now, God, that you would come in and heal, that you would come in and move and shake and do what you need to do in this season, oh God. We submit to the wilderness right now, oh God. We submit to your pruning process. We submit, oh God, to your purifying process right now, God. So, God, for every person here, oh God, I just declare over them strength to endure in this season. I declare over them, oh God, the Holy Spirit is moving over them right now, strengthening them, giving them wisdom, helping them to do what they need to do in this season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you would steady each person's course. That they would not try to take a shortcut, that they would own where they are, oh God, that they would embrace it and they would learn through it, Lord.